In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we've looked at a lot of characters in this unsacrificed series. People who weren't willing to sacrifice, they thought they could hang on to something, and they lose it in the end. And of all the characters that we've looked at so far, perhaps none is as despicable as the one tonight, Judas. Judas always had a problem with money. We know this because John tells us that he's the one who scolds Mary, the sister of Lazarus, when she came and so beautifully anointed Jesus. John says, "But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, 'Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?' He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it." It's really hard to imagine what in the world was going through the mind of Judas. I mean, for 3 years he had been following Jesus. And like the rest of the disciples, he was sent out by Jesus. He preached. Presumably he did miracles like the rest of them did. How could he betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, which was the equivalent of about a third of a year's salary? So, not a small sum, but it's not like he won the lottery or something. Judas' greed goes to such an extreme. "I'm just so glad that money doesn't have a grip on my heart or yours," right? Right? No. Even though we know better, we fall into the same trap. We think that our money is going to get us what we want. How many times do you find yourself saying, "If only I had a little more money, I could have it. I could have what I want, do what I want." It gives us a sense of security, albeit a false one. I mean, it's true, it can buy many, many things for us, but even as the credit card commercial says, it can't buy everything. Ecclesiastes 5 says, "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity." The irony is that we pursue our money because we think it makes us secure, but it actually leaves us insecure. Do we own the money, or does the money own us? With more money, says Ecclesiastes, comes the desire for more money. And more stress and more anxiety, always trying to manage it, worrying about what's going to happen to it. Or more strain on our relationships. How many couples find themselves fighting about the money? How many families are torn apart because they're arguing about what's in the will? Judas was offered security as only Jesus could give. Jesus had even tried to appeal to Judas. We know that at the Passover meal, he sat Judas next to him in the place of honor. We know that in the garden, as Judas draws near with that kiss of betrayal, Jesus appeals to him, "Friend, what are you doing? Why are you here?" Judas, he calls him by name, "Judas, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" In other words, think about it. Do you really want to do this? And though it was certainly grievous, his betrayal wasn't unforgivable. Eventually, he did figure out that the money wasn't worth it. And as you heard, he tried to give it back. He had remorse and he had regret, but he didn't repent. Because repentance requires one more step: faith. Faith in Jesus that he is gracious and he is forgiving. Faith that then leads to hope that there's another way, that there's something far better for us, something that money can't buy. Hope that even our greatest failures don't define us. And then that faith and that hope lead to love. Love for the one who is the true treasure in our lives. And if we have him, then we are secure. We are secure in who we are, knowing that we are loved by him. We are secure in where we are headed to live with him forever. And then, whether we have little or we have much in this world, much or little of money, We know that we have true riches. We are so rich. Paul writes this: "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." Otherwise, we are so poor. We are left only to our despair. And Judas is the one who takes his despair to its worst conclusion. He takes his own life. We didn't read this story tonight, but you probably know it. Peter. He didn't sell Jesus for money, but he did sell him out, trying to save his own hide. Luke tells us that when the rooster crowed three times, Jesus looked at Peter. What was that look? Disappointment? Anger? Couldn't have been. It must have been compassion, an invitation. It was Jesus now appealing to Peter, "Come back home." We're told that it's at this point Peter, as he hears the rooster crow, remembers Jesus said he would deny him three times, but also that Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again," not if you turn again, "when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." And so Peter goes out and he weeps bitterly. His sorrow and his regret turned to faith, turned to Jesus. That there was something bigger than his failure, that compassion and that forgiveness and that love that he found in the eyes of Jesus. One day after the resurrection, Jesus takes Peter for a little walk on the beach. And he asks him three times, "Do you love me?" He wasn't badgering him. "Do you mean it this time? Do you love me?" No. He was giving Peter that chance to erase his three mistakes, those three times he had denied him. He was giving Peter a chance to say what was really in his heart. "Lord, you know everything. You know I love you." And don't you feel like that sometimes when you have so messed up, you have so failed, "I'm such an idiot. And yet, Lord, you know everything. You know I really do love you." It's later in life that Peter could tell others what he himself had experienced. "You were ransomed, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ." True riches and true security. As we close, I'd like you to just take a moment in prayer to imagine, just in your own mind's eye, imagine Jesus is looking at you. And see that rich love in his eyes for you. And just simply be secure in that love.